are listening to the Daily Roundup here as part of the Reality Steve podcast. I'm your host, Reality Steve. Thank you all for tuning in. A good Tuesday show for you. We are going to talk about something new on the website. I talked about possibly doing it. I'm going to start it today. We're also going to talk a little bit about Gen Season, a little bit more information I got yesterday in regards to the Wicked-themed date on Sunday. Put it out there on my Instagram and Twitter yesterday, so I want to follow up with that. Peter Weber went on Chris Harrison's podcast yesterday, said some interesting things. Not too interesting, but a couple topics that I want to dive into. And then I gave the Tortured Poets Department a re-listen yesterday on my walk. Put that on my Instagram stories if you saw that. And I've got updated thoughts on the album. And we'll get to all that momentarily. All right, let's start out with this. Big news. It has probably been, I don't know how many years it's been, but for the longest time, you know, when the show was in season, had a recap on Tuesday on the website, reader emails on Wednesday, then I used to do Dr. Reality Steve on Thursday, that turned into podcasts post on Thursday. And then once the season ended, I did something called Daily Links, where I would basically do links that I found, probably 10 to 12 stories in pop culture, gave my thoughts and included links on it. But that ended at least probably 2017, 2018. It's been years since I've done that. And the one thing that I know a lot of people have complained about is the fact that when the season isn't airing, there's nothing that I write on my podcast. On my website, sorry, at all. I just don't write anything because anything that I get, I put on my, you know, during filming, any spoilers, I put on my social media. I'll tweet it out. I'll put it in my Instagram stories. I'll save it to my highlights, put it in my Instagram feed, or I will talk about it on my podcast. And I get that some of you just aren't podcast people and never will be podcast people. But as I've explained, you know, podcasting is just the way it's going now. Most people are giving up websites and writing because it's so much quicker to talk out a 20 to 25 minute podcast than to type it all out. Well, as you know, a couple weeks ago, Apple Podcasts now has a transcript of every podcast that is posted. So what I'm going to do is this, for all of you who have heard just not into listening to podcasts, what I'm going to do now, when the Daily Roundup is posted every morning, which is usually in my feed by 6:45, roughly, in the morning, I'm going to go to my podcast, cut and paste the transcript, and now put it on my website. So there will be something on my website every day, Monday through Friday, starting today. Now, when I'm in season and I've got my recap Tuesday and reader emails Wednesday and podcast Thursday, what am I going to do? Am I going to double up and also do a recap and just add my podcast to it? Maybe. I haven't decided yet. But in the off season right now, you are going to have the transcript from my podcast every day. And I figure I would just do that for the people that have said, sorry, I don't listen. I wish you would write more. I'm not technically writing. I'm just cutting and pasting, but it's really, really long. I mean, I could split it up. It could take 5 pages to read. It all depends on where I choose to put my page breaks. I'll keep it to maybe just 2 pages, but it's still going to be very long. And the transcripts are actually pretty accurate. You know, the punctuation might be off, but the good thing about the Apple Podcasts is it does break it down into paragraphs. It does actually have paragraph breaks as opposed to just people that were telling me about transcript apps. It was just one long run-on sentence, and I wasn't going to go through that. This is actually really good. Now, when I do an interview podcast, that's going to be a little bit different because it doesn't differentiate between my voice and the interviewee, and it doesn't like bold, hey, this was my question, and then this was their answer. So you might have to, you know, use your brain a little bit to when you're reading those. But starting today, I want to do that because I know a lot of you have said, like, sorry, I'm just not a podcast person. I wish you would write more. Well, now you have something to read every day. You don't have to even go listen to my podcast, although I appreciate it if you would. All you got to do is go hit play. You don't even have to listen to it. Just hit play on it and then go read what I wrote. But it'll all be on the website so at realitysteve.com. So to go check that out. Something to add on to yesterday's social media post that I made in regards to Sunday's Wicked themed date. As I told you, Jen and Marcus Schoberg were on the one-on-one. They had to follow a yellow brick road. They had to open up these boxes, blah, 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 blah. And I said that Charity was there and Kelsey was there and Daisy was there. You saw pictures of them. And I said that Molly and Trista weren't there. Well, Trista was actually part of the date. What happened was after they left Pioneer Square, they got in like a mini trolley or horse carriage or something like that. I don't know what it was. And I guess that took them to Ella Bailey Park. And that's where Trista was waiting for them at like the quote unquote end of the yellow brick road. You saw the picture that I posted. And Jen and Marcus, at that point, there was a hot air balloon ride ready for them to go. However, what I was told was because it was so windy on Sunday, that hot air balloon never took off. After I posted that, someone sent me another picture where while it didn't take off and fly into the air and they drift off into, well, where did Dorothy go? Kansas? It didn't take them to Kansas. The hot air balloon, looking at this picture, I'd say the bottom of the basket of the hot air balloon is maybe 20, 30 feet off the ground, but it's being held by ropes. And basically, they just kind of hovered. So it did leave the ground technically, but they did not fly away in it. It just hovered about 30 feet above the ground. It was held down by ropes, and they did get into a hot air balloon. So maybe with the way they shoot it, they'll make it seem like Marcus and Jen actually flew around Seattle. They did not. It was much, much too windy for that. So I just wanted to throw that out there in regards to the one-on-one date, the addition to Sunday. I did not hear yet anything about yesterday's group date at the time of this recording. I'm actually recording this a little bit earlier. I'm recording this around 7:30 Central Time Monday night. I have not heard anything yet in regards to the group date that happened yesterday, Monday. So if I hear anything, obviously, I will let you know. I do want to add one thing that I talked about at the beginning of this season. It kind of reared its ugly head recently, and I just want to say this. I told you that every season I get told negative information about contestants. And you have to understand, you know, I'm not in that business anymore unless someone wants to put their name behind it and wants to provide evidence. Because so many things that I get are somebody telling me, hey, this guy did this, or this girl did this. And it's like, okay, first off, what do you want me to do about it? I don't know any producers on this show. Now, I do have a way to use back channels to maybe get something out to a producer, but I'm not contacting any producer directly saying, hey, this is what you need to know. It doesn't work that way. The other thing is, a few of the things that I heard about Jen's guys this season came to me a week after filming started. So again, what am I going to do? The other thing is, the information that came to me was sent to me by someone who didn't attach their name to it and provided no evidence, no screenshots, no videos. I'm not saying this person is lying, and I'm not saying I don't believe them, but I'm saying when I get information like that, the first thing is, okay, let's wait. Let's see how long they even last. They might not even be relevant to the season. And then if they become relevant to the season, it takes me telling them, okay, if you want to share this, I need evidence. I need you to show receipts. You can't just tell me this is what this guy did and expect me to run with it and be the middleman where I take all the stray bullets and you get off scot-free. So just keep that in mind when it comes to guys on this season. Yes, I've heard negative things. But one, it was after the season started. Two, there's nothing I can do after the season starts. They're not going to just remove a person from the show because Reality Steve told somebody who told somebody who told somebody and it got back to a producer. They're not going to do that. And number three, the information that I did receive had no evidence whatsoever and no proof. And the person who told me didn't even tell me their name. So that's where we're at with negative information. If this person wants to come forward, I will gladly give them the platform on my podcast, on my website, to come forward. But to just say all these negative things about somebody from the show, one of the guys from the show, and not have any evidence, you know, I'm sorry, in 2024, you have to provide receipts or else it's just, you know, your word against theirs. And unfortunately, maybe somebody else will run with that and give you a platform. I just can't, because I've done this enough times to where I've relayed information without providing evidence, and all of a sudden I'm the bad guy when I'm literally just trying to help this person. So anybody that wants to come to me with negative information, by all means you can, and I will give you a platform, but you can't provide nothing, not even tell me your name, and provide no receipts. It just doesn't work that way. So keep that in mind going forward this season. This podcast is brought to you by Way. Introducing Way's new anti-frizz cream. Ladies, you know you need this. You're too busy to be frizzy. Get Way's new anti-frizz cream. It is lightweight cream that provides immediate frizz control that lasts for up to 72 hours. I have passed this along to a few of my friends because I don't have frizzy hair. I've never had to deal with frizzy hair. Thank God. Seems like it'd be a pain in the ass. But my friends that I've passed it on to, they absolutely swear by it and keep asking me, can we get more? Well, I'm trying. So Way, you want to send some more my way? Please do. They've said it basically helps save them time from the other stuff they've used in the past. The scent on it, they actually really like. I mean, this is something that also helps reduce and repair split ends while quenching dry hair and intense hydration. And 90% of the participants agreed that their hair looks less frizzy, according to a consumer perception study. So, frizz-free up your schedule with Way. Go to thewei.com. That's theouai.com. And enter promo code REALITYSTEVE for 15% off any product. That's thewei.com. theouai.com. Promo code REALITYSTEVE for 15% off any product. As I mentioned in the open, Peter Weber went on Chris Harrison's podcast with Lauren Zima. I didn't listen to the whole thing, but I listened to the part that I wanted to because someone alerted me to the fact that Chris Harrison actually talked about something he's never talked about before. And basically, Peter, after the first 30 minutes or so, a little bit turned the interview on Chris because they had talked about, you know, going through a rough time on this show. And Peter asked Chris, where were you when everything went down? You had been with the show for so long. Were you thinking of quitting? Where were you at with it? And Chris admitted for the first time, my contract was up in a year. I had been with the show 19 years and I was struggling with, do I stay with the show or do I not? Then he said, everything happened. And they basically, if you read between the lines, he said they lowballed him in an offer because he had just given bad publicity to the show by doing the Rachel Lindsay interview and the GMA interview. He didn't say those particularly, but he said they had leverage over me. And Lauren chimed in and said, yeah. And she even said, this is the first time we're ever talking about it. But that was something he had never brought up before. And he said he was at a place where he had spoken at it with Lauren because they were dating at the time. And he didn't know what he was going to do. He isn't saying that I was going to quit, but he was also saying that, do I just, you know, stop it at a good round number? I do one more year at 20 years or, you know, what? And he goes, I had not decided yet, but then everything happened and the decision was basically made for me. Interesting. I think there's still more, obviously, that went into it. And I still obviously think Chris can't say certain things. I mean, he did not talk about any settlement money that he got. And it's funny because Peter's asking him, you know, can I ask you this? Is there, and, you know, are you going to talk about it? And Chris is like, oh, yeah, ask me anything. It's just like, okay, we know he can't go into everything. And the interview with Peter, it's the same thing. Like, I have said this time and time again. If there's one deep dive that I would like to do with any former contestant, it is Peter Weber from November, when his season ended filming and he got engaged to Hannah Ann, till the after the final rose, and maybe a couple weeks after when he was seen with Kelly in Chicago. Because so much happened with him in those 3 months. The things that we know about are, number one, he got engaged to Hannah Ann and then broke up with her in January, the week of the Super Bowl. At the Super Bowl, he runs into Kelly. We know that by what the show showed us, he got back together with Maddie, or whatever you want to call that. He goes and they bring Maddie to him and they decide to sit there on the After the Final Rose couch and decide we want to continue seeing each other, even though Sweetnums wanted no part of Maddie in her son's life. Then, 2 days after the After the Final Rose, they announce on Instagram they've decided to go their separate ways. Then we find out when Hannah Brown's book came out that during that time, sometime between January and After the Final Rose, she had sex with Peter yet again. She went to his house and she stayed at his house. So that means he was engaged to Hannah Ann, hooked up with Hannah Brown, we don't know the order. I think the order was end stuff with Hannah Ann before hooking up with Hannah Brown, which I definitely think the Hannah Brown stuff happened in February at a party in LA. They were at the same party, ended up going home together. And then when did the Kelly stuff all start? When they met in Miami during the Super Bowl, 5 days after he broke it off with Hannah Ann, did anything happen? I guess we'll never know unless one of them wants to be very honest about it. But Peter didn't get into any of that stuff, and that's what I mean. Not to mention the other rumors that were floating out there about one, if not possibly two, other women during that time. So that's what I mean. Like, it's like they talk about it to a certain extent, but then they never really dive into it. I would love for Peter Weber to finally come clean about what really happened between November and March. I think it'd be fascinating. I don't think anybody would think of him any less because I think we pretty much already know, but we've never heard him say it and we've never heard him admit it. Like, the whole thing with Maddie, has anybody ever asked him about this or has he ever addressed this in public? Like, dude, you sat up there on the After the Final Rose holding Maddie's hand, defending her until the death, with your mother just staring daggers at you and saying, this is never going to work out. And you gave up 2 days later. You and Maddie both were like, yeah, we're done. You know, that's what I mean. It's like, come on, Peter, be honest about what really happened there. Did you just do that because the show asked you, can we get a happy ending out of this season? Can we get some sort of love story after you ended things with Hannah Ann? I'm sure that played a role. It would be nice if he would be honest about it. But as far as I know, he's never addressed why he sat there with Maddie to defend her. And 2 days later, they release an Instagram statement saying, we have decided to go our separate ways, after he just vehemently defended her on that stage with his mother staring him down and saying, this isn't going to work. And look, in hindsight, Sweetnums was right. Like, we all knew it wasn't going to work. We've seen where Maddie's life has taken her, and that was not Peter's life whatsoever. It wasn't then, and it isn't now. So we knew it wasn't going to work because of her religious ties that she had, and we just knew Peter was not into that at all. So why defend her as much as he did? And if you're just like, well, I wanted to try and make it work, okay, then give it more than 2 days. Like, you know, that's what I mean. I really wish somebody, anybody, could get him to talk about that, but seems like he never will, unfortunately. And finally, the other thing that I posted last night on my Instagram stories was, after yesterday's takedown of the Tortured Poets Department album, I was like, okay, you know what? You know, I had listened to it twice. And when I gave that review yesterday, I was like, okay, let me do it again. And the first two times I listened to it, I was kind of following along with the lyrics for most of it. And yesterday I was just like, well, let me listen to the songs, because I was on a walk. I go on a nightly walk around anytime between 4 and 5:30 every night. And I was like, let me just press play when I walk out the door and My walk takes me about 50, 55 minutes. So it got me up to song about 13, I believe. It got me up to Smallest Man Who Ever Lived, song 14. I've heard The Alchemy and Clara Bow, but I just didn't on my walk yesterday. So I was like, let me have an updated review of Tortured Poets Department. And after listening to basically the first album yet again for the third time, I am here to say this. I will admit this. It's just about as average as I thought it was the first two times I listened. But with that said, like, nothing major changed in my mind. But I will say there are three songs that I think will crack my Taylor Swift playlists out of 17. I do like Guilty as Sin. I do like Who's Afraid of the Big Bad Wolf or whatever that's. Oh, Who's Afraid of Little Old Me. I do like that one. And I do like I Can Do It with a Broken Heart, because that's literally the only song out of 17 that changes any sort of tempo. It is 16 songs that are kind of slow and dreary and sad and vulnerable. I get it. I get this is more of an insight into her diary. This is poetry. I get it. It just, like I said yesterday, this doesn't take away from her as a songwriter. It doesn't take away how much I love her other albums. It just means that this particular album, a little too slow and dreary for me, and I would like a little more diversity in the songs. So, Guilty as Sin, I like that one. Does it pass some of her other bangers? No. I still don't think there's a banger on this album. And maybe there isn't supposed to be, because it's not poppy, it's not catchy. It's just a lot of vulnerability and her talking about, you know, what she went through in relationships. The So Long London song is just like, as I said in my story yesterday, like, why didn't you just call that Bye, Joe? Bye! It's like, okay. And Taylor obviously is a master at this. She never, ever, ever references who she's referring to in her songs, but everybody dissects it and they can pretty much guess. But she'll never give anybody any confirmation. Oh, Taylor, we think you're talking about Jake Gyllenhaal in this song. Great. I'm never going to reveal who I talk about. But for God's sakes, Taylor, you dated Joe Alwyn for 6 years. He lived in London. You lived in London with him for a while. Then you release a song after the breakup called So Long London. And the whole song is about a relationship between a girl and a guy and how she was feeling. And we're not supposed to believe. Like, you're not fooling anybody. It's about Joe. Just call the song, bye. Bye, Joe. Bye. Leaving. Found myself a tight end. One of the top three tight ends in the history of the NFL. I'm done with you. Goodbye. So, and I just, honestly, I just don't particularly care for that song. I don't hate it. It's just there. If there's two other songs in the first album that may crack my playlist, maybe Fortnite will, and maybe Down Bad will. Those are okay. I like them. But if you're asking me my three favorites, it would be Guilty as Sin, Who's Afraid of the Big Bad Wolf, and I'm going to just call it that because that's what I'm going to call it, and I Can Do It with a Broken Heart. Maybe you can either add on, you can also add on LOML. Maybe. But the three that definitely will be making my playlist, Guilty as Sin, Who's Afraid of the Big Bad Wolf, and I Can Do It with a Broken Heart. So that's my update. Nothing major changed with me listening to it for a third time. But as I said yesterday, I don't hate the album. I just like most of her other albums a lot better. Anyway, thank you all for listening. Really appreciate it. Follow me on Apple Podcasts. Also rate and review if you can. But you got to hit play. That's how it counts as a download. Sports Daily will be up in an hour from now. And yes, like I said at the beginning, it starts today. The transcript of this particular podcast will be up on realitysteve.com at some point this morning. I will tweet it out when it is. Thanks again for listening. I appreciate it. And I will talk to you tomorrow. See you.